a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Ton, it was a bit of a late night. It was nice to see the Utes win their first Pac-12 championship. That's what I'll say.
That is fabulous. They took down Oregon twice.
Right.
And it was something.
And it wasn't even close either time.
Yeah. You obviously weren't down in Las Vegas watching, which would have been fun to do.
It would have been fun to do.
But man, what
it never hit home to me that this was the first time they have won in the program's history.
Yeah.
So if I might have taken it a little more seriously and wanted to go down for that, but I don't know. We'll see. The Rose Bowl is coming up now.
It's the Pac-12, and they have some storied teams that they have to go up against, and for little old Salt Lake, Utah to do that. That's just a great accomplishment.
Yeah, it was. Congratulations to the Utes and on to the Rose Bowl now. And wouldn't it be fun, though, Ton, to go and broadcast live from the Rose Parade?
It would be very fun.
Yeah, we should have our listeners text in whether that would be something they'd love to hear about, how they put together those beautiful floats. So just let us know, 57500. This morning, we want to start the morning and talk about the holiday cactus. And they are so beautiful. And, I posted, and we had this conversation a little bit last year. Everybody thinks it's a Christmas cactus, but these cactus bloom at different times, and they are different cactus, and you like to call them holiday cactus.
Yeah, not that I'm trying to be politically correct.
But you are.
Well, just more, I'm trying to be more exact, I guess.
I think
because
that's true.
There are Thanksgiving cactus, there's Christmas cactus, and Easter cactus. Mm-hmm. They're related species, but they are different, and when they blossom is at different periods of the year. And then to muddy the waters more, there are hybrids of these that will bloom oftentimes just through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little muddy. And so I think holiday cactus is just a good catch-all for the group to where if you want to tease things out further, you can differentiate the species according to what you have.
I want to call them leaves. I'm not sure that's the proper term, but they do actually look different. They are a different shape.
They are. They are true cacti, but they don't have any thorns on them. They're not actually even native to deserts. They're tropical rainforest plants, and it's not that they require a lot of water, but they are not something that is really drought adapted, even though they are in the cacti family.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember, too. You can't treat them like a succulent.
No, you can't. And so to grow these, you find them in the store and they're gorgeous. And, the retailers and their suppliers especially know how to grow these so that when you pick them up, they are just in the prime, you know, condition. And you bring them home and they look beautiful for 3 or 4 weeks. And then all of a sudden, all the flowers drop off and you're scratching your head thinking, what happened? And so you really need to do some basic research. But a lot of these you can keep blooming for quite a while.
Yeah, so I posted one a couple of weeks ago. It is in full bloom now. It is absolutely spectacular. And I did send a picture to Carlos. I'll have to send it to Caitlin, too, to post with today's article. So I'll have to check and see if that actually happened. But, oh, my gosh, the thing is beautiful. And I realize I have two Thanksgiving cacti. And then I have one that's not blooming, so I'm not sure.
Maybe Christmas.
I think it is a Christmas. Easter. I don't know. It's not showing any blooms right now, so I'm going to bet Easter.
Yeah, and it could, is it positioned in a somewhere that it gets cold?
So that's the problem. So since we started remodeling our bathroom, it's in a different spot. Somebody says, how do you get these to rebloom? And I'm like, I think it's just where at the location that I have them in, right? I would have them in my bathroom where it would get cool and moisture. And then when it would start to bloom, I'd put it down in my entry so everybody could see how beautiful it is. But my bathroom is under construction, and so...
Yeah.
Right now, it's not in that situation.
Yeah. So the easiest way to induce bud formation to get the flowers, you know, the buds will form on the edges of the leaves. What you need to do is put them in a location that they get below 55 degrees every night. So if you have an older home, an old drafty window is great. An unheated bedroom.
So this answers a lot of questions because I have this little corner in that bathroom that I put them in that it's kind of overhangs. It's not really as heated as the rest of the house. And I put them on the windowsill.
Yes. During the winter where they're native is, and it's not, it is tropical, but it does get cooler in the winter. And so these are regularly where they're native exposed to temperatures around 50 to 55 degrees at night for several weeks. The other thing that can cause them to bloom are shorter day lengths. But if you walk into a room and turn on the lights, then you've ruined that cycle of short day lengths. They do need the daylight sun. But, you know, where we are light right now from around 7 in the morning till 5:30, if those plants received that day length near a bright window and then were in complete darkness for several weeks for the rest of the night, then that would also cause flower bud formation.
Okay, there are a lot of people going, oh, no wonder my cacti don't rebloom.
Yes, and so I think for me and most people, the easiest way to get these to bloom is to just put them next to a big window. So you don't want them touching, but so especially as we get colder, if you leave the blinds open on a deck, a sliding glass door, that's a great place to put, you know, a bench or something and just set them there. And then you'll leave them for 8 or 10 weeks and you'll start to see flower bud formation and you just flip them 180 degrees and just keep doing that. And you can get blooms for late November until February or March.
So stop telling me you don't have a green thumb. You just aren't using the proper daylight or temperature.
Yes. And so these are actually among the easiest to grow flowering plants. And they add a lot of interest and bring a lot of just that needed, have that touch with nature and the greenery, you know, and just being exposed to something that you want to be out in your yard all day.
Mm-hmm.
And at least it gives you a little inkling of that and something to do and look forward to.
Especially the times of year that they do bloom. And right now it's much needed.
Yeah. You know, one other thing about the holiday cactus, and again, I just call them that because they're a group. I heard of some counties up in somewhere or another that we'll skip that for now.
Okay.
But anyway,
you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yes. I decided to filter myself.
Okay.
What I should really say is that these can live for 50 to 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know my grandfather had one that was in a giant pot. And he would had it elevated about 3 feet off the ground, and the individual branches would grow to the floor, and he would actually have to clip them. And then he would oftentimes start new plants and then give them away to relatives and neighbors as gifts off of his that he had had for so long.
Right.
And this is one that if they're taken care of with some houseplant fertilizer and watering, transplanting every 2, 3, or 4 years, they are not finicky and just long lived, and they can sometimes become family heirlooms almost.
Right. And it's interesting what you talk about transplanting, though, because they do get large. Like you have to, I mean, you have to transplant them every 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah. And especially if they're in a good location, you know, they do get some growth on them. Now they're not very hard to propagate. And so your techniques that you would use for propagating succulents would apply mm-hmm. to them. You'd want a well-drained, some sort of a potting medium or vermiculite or something. But they'll root, especially when we have longer day lengths and a little warmer, quite easily. And you can transplant them back into soil. And, you know, if you have one that for whatever reason has sentimental value and you want to pass something along to relatives and kids, it's not that hard to do.
Okay, one final question for you. So if you do want to transplant, so what I've been doing is just putting them in bigger pots, but can I actually make it smaller so it doesn't get so large, or is that going to really hurt the plant?
If it was one that grandma gave you, I would be a little cautious.
You're going to say it might die, so you might not want to do that.
Yeah, and I know people to do it, but you would want to do it when they're not so root-bound that you just has roots everywhere. It would be something that you'd want to do every 3 or 4 years and just kind of take sections off and retransplant those. I'm sure that you can do it. I've never propagated them that way, but they're quite adaptable.
Okay, a new challenge. All right, thank you, John.
Yeah, really quick before we go to break.
Yes.
I didn't bring up the Easter cactus just because it's the wrong time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's a closely related species, they are triggered to bloom by increasing day lengths. And so through February and March, as they're exposed to more light, that's what triggers the bud formation, and that's why they're called Easter cactus.
Right. One of our listeners is chiming in on the cactus. They have a Christmas cactus that blooms in November and April. There's another variety that blooms closer to Christmas, and they keep it in their north-facing window. Seems pretty happy there.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for chiming in this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500, and you can find out much more on the holiday cactus on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show, spending your Saturday morning with us, Ton and Maria with you. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. It seems a lot of people have turned to house plants to entertain them at this point in the season, Ton. Our second texter is saying, if their plants are not showing good leaf health, they're kind of slow growing and wimpy, should they invest in lights? And how long should houseplants sit under lights? This is tricky.
It is. What you're seeing is the plants telling you that it's not happy. And it could definitely be light causing that, but it could also be rooting situation, irrigation. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be checked. And so what I would actually do here is start with checking the soil
mm-hmm.
and the roots. If the plant's been in a pot for a long time, but it's not too big, I would insert my palm around the stems of the plant near the soil and just gently turn that over and see if you can get it out. And if you can't see a lot of soil through the roots around the edges, it needs a new home. and it needs a bigger pot, and you want to go with something 2 inches wider on all sides than the old pot. So that's one thing to check. The other thing is going to be irrigation. You know, if it's got a lot of yellow leaves, there could be something going on to where the roots are rotting and the leaves look anemic and there's not a lot of growth because they've rotted off and what's left isn't doing a good job at supporting the plant. So another step to look at is to put your finger into the soil. It's a few days after you've irrigated and see how wet it is. And if it's nice and evenly moist, leave it alone. You know, check it 4 or 5 days, you know, 3 or 4 days later. But during this time of year, we oftentimes only need to water average house plants every 10 days because of the lower temperatures and lower light levels in our homes, to where during the summer it's every 5 to 7. During the winter, it's every 7 to 10.
Right. I haven't really reached that point. Like, my plants are still really dry after.
Are they?
Weekend.
Now,
I think
the warmer temperatures.
Warmer temperatures.
You know, during the 50s, you know, you might, as we get cooler into the 40s and 30s daily, that 7 to 10 day watering schedule will kick in. But you prove a point here that you don't just irrigate because it's every 7 days.
Right.
So because you've got to watch that. Another thing to look for is drainage. And if there's a lot of standing water at the bottom of the pot that the soil's sitting in, that causes root rot. And even though the top feels dry, that water down there could be harming it. One other thing to check is the light. And if you know that it's in a fairly dim location, then some grow lights or a brighter window would definitely help out.
I think we get spoiled by some of our house plants, like the pothos, that just can just pretty much grow no matter what, right?
Almost grow in a dark closet.
Right. So I think we get spoiled by some of those. Is there a natural life of a house plant, though?
It depends on species. The pothos, the Hartley philodendron, spider plants can live for years. They're perennial, and it might not be the same stem over and over, but they will live for years. Some of them, I don't think, are as long-lived, and it just could be that they're a little harder to take care of. But the ones that you find at garden centers, some of them are a little more difficult, but a good 60 to 70% are there because of their track record on how easy they are to grow indoors.
Mm-hmm. Are there some that are poisonous that we should be aware of when we're bringing
yes,
in our homes?
Yes, there are many.
I say this
because
we have a new puppy in our family,
yes,
and he's eating everything.
You've got to be a little careful with that because most of them are at least going to give you a bellyache if you ingest them. But there's one called dumb cane that has oxalates in it that if you chew on the leaves will swell your throat up.
But it's not one that we see around, so it's not likely you would buy that.
It's very common.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I've never seen that.
Diffenbachia, I believe, is the other name for it. So there's actually several in that family that have oxalates in them. You know, they're for just outright, you'll drop dead if you eat it, no. You know, for most of them, they won't do that. But a lot of them are moderately poisonous to where they will cause at least several hours of in discomfort, usually in your intestinal tract, but also it could be that your throat swells. Most of them don't have any, unless you have allergies to them, any worries about if you get some sap on you, just wash your hands.
Yeah, I've never had a child that wanted to eat my plants, but I have a new puppy that wants to eat the plants.
Yeah, I had a brother that had a daughter that was just into everything all the time when she was a toddler, and they had to elevate all the house plants up, and then she would still try to climb and things. And it was amazing what they had to go through until she grew up enough to kind of stop.
Right. It's a child-by-child basis, isn't it?
It is.
Some won't eat anything, and some just everything that comes in their little fist they've got to eat. That number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be back following the bottom of the hour news.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.